This podcast is brought to you by VMware, the leader in virtualization.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this VMware VDI podcast. This is the second in a series of podcasts focused on the design and implementation of scalable virtual desktop deployments. I am Tyler T-Rex Rohr with the Enterprise Desktop team at VMware, and today I'm thrilled to have with me again John Dodge, Worldwide Release Architect here at VMware. John has assessed, planned, and designed some of the largest virtualization deployments in the world over the past 5 years. And today, we're going to chat a little bit about the planning and design process at each of the critical layers in a VDI environment. So, John, thanks for joining us again in our series on how to best assess, plan, design, and deploy scalable VDI environments. I know you like to break down the planning of a VDI rollout down into layers or different strata. Tell me a little bit more about those layers and what I, as a customer, should consider, John.
Sure will, and thanks for having me back, Tyler. Glad to be here. So I like to basically start where I consider to be the bottom of the design or the outer ring of the design, which I refer to as the client access devices layer. At this layer, we consider things like the use of thin client terminals and repurposed PCs, and of course, whether or not any of our VDI users are mobile users. In other words, do they expect to use their VDI session from various endpoints throughout the day or throughout the week? So important considerations here include the type of device and how that device is going to be used. So next up in the stack, one ring in from the outside, is a layer I call the access infrastructure layer. Access infrastructure includes components like what point of ingress will the users connect from. So are we talking about internet connections from an unsecure endpoint? Are we talking about connecting over the corporate network with high speed connectivity, low latency, plenty of bandwidth? Are we coming in over leased lines from remote offices where there might be some bandwidth constraints or high latency conditions, such as would be the case in a remote offshore scenario? And in this layer too, we talk about the connection broker. Virtual Desktop Manager is VMware's connection broker, and we want to make sure that we have considerations inside the access infrastructure for the connection broker, because here's where we decide where to place connection brokers. For example, are we going to have those connection brokers inside the DMZ, or will they be strategically placed inside the enterprise architecture? Now, moving up from there, we next talk about the VMware infrastructure layer. This is really the horsepower for VDI. This is the engine that drives the solution. The cornerstone of this layer are the ESX hosts, in particular compute resources such as memory and CPU resources. It's important to have a good understanding of exactly how much horsepower will we need, and that's an aggregate of how many users will we have running total and concurrently in VDI, as well as what are the demands on a per desktop basis? Driving that also are your storage demands. So what does the VDI virtual machine disk footprint look like? And what kind of disk technologies can I leverage? For example, if I choose a network attached storage solution, I might be able to leverage NFS and data deduplication technology to reduce that overall footprint, which is an important consideration when we're planning a very large, very scalable VDI infrastructure. Another important consideration inside the VMware infrastructure layer is the network connectivity. So there's lots of different network connectivity required in VDI designs. Obviously, I need a connection point into the virtual machine so that the user can control the VM. And then there's connectivity out of the virtual machine for using applications, browsing for network resources, connecting via web brokers, connecting via browsers to websites to gather and process information, and for using applications in general. Up from that layer, we go into the virtual desktop or VDI virtual machine layer. One of the important considerations here is what does the operating system build look like? Are we starting from scratch, which is the preferred method, building an image or golden master of the virtual machine for eventual deployment to as many VDI users as we have? Or do we need to start from an existing build? Maybe the organization has a standard that they feel that they want to use. Perhaps it's a automated build. It's got some very deliberate security settings configured inside of it. And maybe they have rigid demands on absolutely requiring to use this build. Another consideration inside the virtual desktop layer is the applications. What helper applications might I need to be installed inside the VDI VM session? Or what applications can I strip out or perhaps virtualize? It's at the virtual desktop layer that we really set the end user experience, and we want to try to set that as close as possible to the end user experience that they have today. And that's in terms of look and feel and performance and overall usability.
Now, John, a quick question here. You know, when we go back to the operating system level or layer or strata, as you call it, I know there's some new and kind of dynamic ways to present operating systems to these virtual desktops. Maybe chat with us for a second about VMware's newly announced scalable virtual image technology and how you see that kind of playing into the planning process.
Absolutely. So scalable virtual images, or SVI, is really a very interesting way to reduce the overhead, especially in disk terms of disk requirements for VDI. Probably the most important thing that SVI does for us in terms of a return on investment is reduces the disk footprint required for a scalable VDI design. Does that through using linked clones that link back to a golden master. So I create one or a handful of golden masters, and all of the virtual machines that are deployed in my VDI design are linked back to that golden master. That means that I can deploy VDI virtual machines faster and easier, and I can employ a methodology of update once and deploy instantly. So in other words, when I make a change to a VDI virtual machine golden master when using SVI, that change is instantly available to all the virtual machines in my VDI solution. So I'm really looking forward to SVI. I think it has great potential for really innovating the VDI solution.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, I want to focus again on the application layer. So, I mean, that's really the end result. That's the end goal here. What we're trying to actually do is, you know, offer our end users the efficient and available use of applications. So take me back through the application layer, because I kind of interrupted you there.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, when we're planning for applications, one of the first considerations that I urge customers to look at is deciding whether to embed applications inside the VDI virtual machine, or can we either remove that application from the design entirely, or can we perhaps virtualize it? So the first consideration there is the disk footprint impact. A disk footprint for VDI will be a lot larger if we're embedding applications inside the VDI virtual machine. A good example is the use of Microsoft Office. Obviously, most, if not all, of our customers are leveraging Microsoft Office in their VDI designs. And so we need to decide whether or not to have Office installed in the VDI virtual machine, or perhaps we can virtualize it. When we start embedding applications inside the VDI virtual machine, we could potentially create the need for more golden masters. So then we might need one or two per business unit, and then for every business unit that we have in our VDI solution use case, we might expand that need for golden masters. It's also, with more golden masters comes more maintenance and update requirements. So now I'm not just updating one or perhaps two golden masters, maybe now I'm managing 10 or 20 of these. And when we get to this scale, it can become very easy to overlook one or two of the golden masters, and therefore forget to apply updates or cause corruption in one of those golden masters, and then impacting multiples or multitudes of users at one time. So when we're looking at applications for use inside the VDI virtual machine, an important question is, can you virtualize those applications? Because if you can, you can greatly simplify application management in VDI. And obviously, the technology that makes this all feasible is VMware ThinApp, which I'm really excited about because I can create an application package make it available in one or a central location and have that application instantly available to all my users. Great technology.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. I mean, I really like the way you think about the planning and designing of this infrastructure as, you know, different stratas and different layers to consider. So if I'm the customer and you're the consultant, who should I have from my team in one of these planning sessions, John, to ensure that, you know, all the stakeholders are well represented?
Well, when we looked at the stakeholders that could potentially contribute to a VDI design, we actually came up with a total of 15 stakeholders. But the key stakeholders in that list, in no particular order, starts with the business and technical project sponsors. These are the folks who understand the requirements from a business perspective, and they understand the technology in terms of what are the company standards and what can VDI bring. A next important stakeholder is the server operations group, specifically with two particular areas of concentration, the first being the VMware infrastructure consideration, and the second being the Active Directory consideration. So it's very important to involve these teams, and I think it's obvious why when we're planning a VDI solution for a customer. Another key stakeholder in the VDI planning process is the network operations team. So much of VDI's acceptance in terms of a final solution really depends on the network, and that's because bandwidth availability and latency can have a tremendous impact on the usability of the solution. So it's obviously very important to involve the network operations team in your VDI planning, and so we want to treat them as an important stakeholder in the project. Another very important stakeholder is the storage operations team. Certain VDI designs, for example, if we need to use a persistent design for our VDI virtual machines, require a lot of disk space. And the more disk space we require on the scale and order of magnitude that we're talking about in highly scalable VDI solutions, the more important it is to talk with the storage team. That's because we might exceed storage capacity that requires them to go out and buy a new frame or a new disk technology in general. It's very key to include them in your early design planning sessions.
Well, I think you just hit the nail right on the head, John. I mean, this notion of scalability, I mean, what we're really after here, I mean, the theme of this podcast series is the process of how to actually migrate from a proof of concept or a pilot into production. So do you have any planning tips and tricks that you can share with us today?
Yeah, definitely. So I like to consider VDI planning as a migration from proof of concept to production. In particular, a proof of concept, in my mind, is a prototyping stage. So in prototyping, we're trying to determine what works and what is feasible. And by feasibility, I mean, can we do it? Does it require a dramatic change for the customer environment? Will the users conform to and adopt the solution? Or are there particular changes that are required in order for them to accept the solution? As we go through the prototyping process, we're basically going through iterations of the design and trying to come up with a final workable solution. When we come up with that final workable solution, it's time to take that into a pilot stage. When we pilot VDI solutions, we want to make sure we're piloting as close to the end state solution as possible. So we want to run on production infrastructure, production storage, production networks, and we want to make sure the applications are usable. Applications with high screen refresh rates, multimedia streaming applications, for example, may or may not work depending on the end state. If I have great availability and bandwidth and low latency, it's no problem. But if I have bandwidth constraints and high latency, that application may not work, and it may not perform adequately for the user to actually use it. Another very important consideration in the pilot stage is printing. How well is printing working? Is printing flexible enough for the user to use, or when they hit that print job button, does it actually cause the session to stop or otherwise halt on them? Very important to pilot your VDI solutions before rolling them out.
I appreciate that, John. That makes a ton of sense. And I think we'd all agree that, you know, the actual implementation of a scalable and successful VDI environment really does hinge on, you know, this planning layer, taking a look at each of the strata in the infrastructure and considering their impact on the organization. I wanted to invite you to join us next week, John, and walk us through some of the actual implementation aspects that develop from this planning process.
Oh, I would love to come back anytime you'll have me, Tyler.
Thanks, John. And thanks, everybody. I wanted to thank you all for listening to this VMware VDI podcast. For more information, be sure to check out www.vmware.com/go/desktop, where we have a host of sizing and scaling white papers, deployment guides, total cost of ownership calculators, and, of course, evaluation software. From sunny Palo Alto, California, the heart of Silicon Valley, thank you from VMware.